Here's how Yale Strom's documentary Klezmer on Fish Street begins. When you travel to Krakow, Poland, you can stay in the former Jewish quarter at a Jewish inn. You will wake up to a kosher-style breakfast. You will take the Schindler's List tour. You will end your day with a kosher-style dinner, followed by a klezmer concert. Will you have met a Polish Jew?
I think for a lot of Jews, Poland represents a cemetery. It's where the largest part of our people in Europe was killed. And the pain associated with that historical fact makes many Jews very sour about the Polish experience.
Until very recently, no Jew would come to Poland to have a good time. He traveled to Poland maybe, but he didn't come as a tourist. Now many Jews are coming to Poland as tourists to enjoy it. You can enjoy Krakow, you can enjoy Poland in a way that was impossible to do some years ago.
I think klezmer music is one small aspect of the larger theme of Jewish identity, Jewish culture, what it means for people who are Jews. And settling this question, what does this Jewish music mean to me, is a way of saying, how do I want to be Jewish?
A taste of the documentary Klezmer on Fish Street. And here's Steve Paulson talking with Yale Strom about the film and about klezmer in Poland.
There are several klezmer bands in Poland today, all of which don't have any Jews in the band. They're all non-Jews playing klezmer music. So what is this film about? The film is about, really, this revival of Jewish culture in Poland, Yiddish culture, really. You know, once there were 3.5 million Jews in Poland that had lived nearly 1,000 years, created a 1,000-year-old rich Yiddish culture, and 90% of them were wiped out. And so we have, like, 60 years later after the Holocaust, we have this revival being almost fostered by non-Jews for non-Jews.
How many Jews in Poland are
there?
Well,
good question. Officially, they always say officially, they say it is as low as, you know, 6,000 to 8,000.
In the whole country?
In the whole country. But really, people have been doing work there, and friends of mine have been working there, Americans who've gone there to do research and to help also build back the community. There's probably closer to 20, 25,000 Jews. So that begs the question, so where are they? Who are they? Many of them are Jews, changed their last name. They wanted to hide, go into the fabric. They were children that grew up in families from parents who were survivors and said, you know, yes, you're Jewish, but that's it. It only caused trouble and your life is fine. You don't need to add to it. Also, there are many people who were orphaned and stayed there and were brought up by Catholics and are only finding out now in their 40s and their 50s that they're Jewish. A relative tells them, or the mother or father who's raised them, I must tell you, though, that you came to me as a year-and-a-half-year-old child and so forth. And that creates a weird, ironic mix to then say, now we're going to recreate Jewish culture for you.
Mm-hmm. So what you're describing is essentially a culture that's, for the most part, been wiped out in Poland. I mean, there are virtually no Jews left, and there were many Jews who used to live there before the Second World War. And now there is this budding industry of Jewish music, Jewish culture. I mean, your film is set in Krakow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can stay at so-called Jewish inns. You can eat kosher-style meals. You can go on the Schindler's List tour. All this stuff.
And why? Some people say it's guilt for guilt, you know, money for guilt. Some feel guilty and you know, the children or the grandchildren. And we want to give something back because when you look at Polish history, you cannot ignore Jewish history. It was so intertwined. And they're realizing this. They're saying, wow, there's a hole in the fabric. You know, a 20-year-old who reads and so forth say, wow, look at these industrialists, these writers, these musicians, these architects, these actors, and so forth and so on, who contributed to our culture. they were Poles and they were Jewish.
Where does klezmer music fit into this story?
Klezmer music, Yiddish instrumental folk dance music, which has been around since about the 13th century. Actually, I wrote a book. I might as well say it on air. You know, I wrote a book recently called The Book of Klezmer, and it dates it from the late 1200s through today, starting in Germany and eventually coming to Poland. So klezmer, though, in America was sort of in the 50s when American Jews were assimilating. I don't want to eat the pastrami sandwich. I don't have the garlic on my breath. You know, I'm leaving the sweatshops in Hester Street and I'm going to Long Island. That kind of mentality. And my bar mitzvah for my wedding, play one hora, play Hava Nagila. But the rest of it, I want to hear, you know, whatever, Duke Ellington, you know, Benny Goodman or whatever the popular music of the day. Jews in the 70s said, you know, what I call like the Roots syndrome with the movie Roots. Said, wait a minute, I'm playing bluegrass. I'm playing Irish. What about my roots music? And slowly listening to the old 78s, talking to some of the old timers who remembered it as just Catskills, you know, Borscht Belt music. And slowly this revival came back.
So there is a real klezmer revival
in
now.
Definitely throughout the world. Majorly so. I mean, you know, in late 70s, you could go and there's like five records and then not CDs, I guess. Today, there must be a couple hundred bands throughout the world. You know, I started a band in 1981 called Zamiros. Now I changed the name called Clash because it's mixed with jazz. And I have a band in New York called Hot Pastrami. But where's it come in is the music then crossed the Atlantic. Musicians said, wow, I can get gigs in Europe. They're fascinated. Germany, France, Holland, Italy even. And then Poland, Hungary. And the people said, well, first of all, wait a minute. I'm hearing strains of my folk music. Like Polish folk music. I hear, yes, there's some different, there's that Middle Eastern kind of, you know, melismatic sort of crying sounds. And what it was for Poles who didn't know much about Jewish culture, or maybe knew very little to nothing, it was a way to be introduced to Jewish culture in a non-threatening, non-invasive way. I'm not going to go to the synagogue. I have no interest to learn Hebrew or the Torah, or I'm not going to start taking Jewish studies classes. I'm going to go to a club. Mm-hmm. Sit back, sip a beer, and listen to some good music.
Now, it's worth pointing out that you are a man of many talents, not only a filmmaker and a writer, but also a musician. And
yes,
you have brought your violin into the studio. Could you give us a taste of klezmer music?
Definitely, certainly. I'll play a tune that comes from a town that's today in Belarus, but it was once part of Poland, greater Poland, a tune that is what we call a niggin, a Hasidic melody, a wordless melody that comes from the town where my grandparents grew up. Now they can be also fast, upbeat.
First tune, very soulful. It's the kind of thing that that you would hear in a movie made about Poland in the 1930s or something
Jewish
like that.
Jewish blues.
Yes, exactly. And then the second one, and you can imagine people in a club playing that, you know, if you want to go out and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the klezmer music has a wide range of emotions, and because it's music of the folk, and folk music of any ethnic group touches humans. That's why, you know, people say, I like klezmer, but I'm not Jewish. I said, well, you know, I like Swedish music, and I'm not Swedish. Or I like, you know, Malian music, and I'm not from Mali. Because it's from the folk, and if it's played with sincerity, you know, it has the human condition in every note. And that's what I think klezmer evokes.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the questions your film, Klezmer on Fish Street, raises is, to go back to Poland, to Krakow, where you spent a lot of time, can you have Jewish culture put on, performed by people who aren't Jews?
That is a good question. That's a very difficult question. You know, yes, you can have non-Jews who've studied it, who've lived it. But the one thing that non-Jew, who's as great as he or she is, the virtuosity on the violin playing the style of klezmer, doesn't have when they play is when they close their eyes and think back to their childhood. They don't have those memories as I did, listening to the stories from my Zeta and my grandfather, going to a small Hasidic synagogue, hearing the DNA of the music. The DNA comes from the synagogue, the shul, as we would say in Yiddish. They don't have that. And even if they said, well, I'm going to go to the shul now. Well, okay, but you're going as an adult. There is something to be said about literally getting it from mother's milk. Mm-hmm. As a character says in one of my films I did some years ago called The Last Klezmer, he says, I learned from, you know, drinking on my mother's breast, in a sense. You know, he's making a joke, but...
Well, and it's very easy to be cynical about, say, this kind of Jewish revival, whatever you want to call it, in Krakow, where there are hardly any Jews who live there. But yet, on the other hand, you could say it's better than nothing. You know, if they're not doing it, there's going to be no vestige of Jewish culture, and why not?
Right. And as the film says, and I agree, I mean, you know, I will admit, you know, I have misgivings or mixed feelings sometimes, not even just in Poland. When I've been to Hungary, there's a Jewish festival now in Budapest building, you know, or I go to Prague or Bratislava in Slovakia. Because I think, wow, I mean, these people are loving their music, but where were their grandparents? You know, where were they when they could have saved, you know, my brethren when they were being taken to the trains? Or were these the grandparents, their grandparents couldn't wait to go in and rob and take everything out of their homes? But yes, it is, as many of the people see in that film, as my friend Stasik, who's Jewish in the film, he says, and he was born and lived there his whole life. You know, we could have nothing or a little of something, and I'd rather have a little of something.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Well, it's my pleasure to be invited, and thank you.
And, you know, before you go, because you have your violin here, could you play us one more song?
Sure.
Yale Strom is a klezmer musician and the director of the documentary Klezmer on Fish Street. Steve Paulson spoke with him.